This is the son of PCJ.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perron.
Well, hello everyone and welcome again to another edition of Media Network Plus. It's very nice to have you with us. Well, a couple of things happened this past week. The first, well, Radio Canada International signed off last Sunday with their final shortwave broadcasts. This was followed by Thursday with Radio Netherlands Worldwide signing off. We're going to be looking at these two special programs that they did, and also to give a little bit of an editorial about what we think. This is Media Network Plus, the program that plugs you in, continues, and gets up to very naughty things. First, here's Paulette McQuarrie with a look at some of the headlines happening in the world of media.
Peter Horrocks, director of BBC Global News, said, "With global competition only intensifying, the BBC World Service has also had to face significant cuts to its funding, undergoing disrupting and painful change. In this context, we're announcing that the BBC's global weekly audience estimate has seen a steady rise by 14 million to 239 million in 2012, up 6% from the previous year. This has been driven primarily by the performance of our BBC Arabic and BBC Persian services. As tumultuous events in the Middle East and North Africa unfolded, audiences increasingly turned to the BBC for independent news they could trust." On June 19th, the BBC World Service got a major shot in the arm with the personal endorsement of the station from Burmese Democratic leader Aung San Suu Kyi. She visited the BBC on her 67th birthday and had a personal tour of the BBC World Service. After the tour, she met with the press and praised the job and importance of the station.
"Everywhere I have been, the BBC has been with me. Throughout these years, you don't know what the BBC and other broadcasting stations, but particularly the BBC World Service, has meant to me, because it kept me in touch with the rest of the world, and it allowed me to keep up with developments in the outside world, although I was not able to contact anybody. It was a one-way service, and for that, I'm very grateful. I had nothing to give in return, but all the time, the BBC was giving me something every day. And this I shall never forget. And I hope that you will continue to do that for other people in other places."
Last weekend, Radio Canada International saw its final programs going to air. All language services did a special farewell program. RCI Spanish had the unhappy task of closing Radio Canada International's shortwave service. The Spanish staff was upbeat during the program, and near the end of the program, there were announcements in French and English.
Dear friends of Radio Canada International, friends of Canada all over the world, this was the last program in shortwave by Radio Canada International.
After the broadcast, there were announcements in, strangely enough, Arabic, promoting the website that replaces RCI broadcasts on shortwave. Radio Canada International signed off shortwave mid-sentence during the Arabic announcement.
هنا راديو كندا الدولي سمير بدوي يحييكم ويقدم إليكم آخر نشرة للأخبار عبر الأثير لكن يمكنكم متابعتنا على شبكة الإنترنت أستهل النشرة بالموجز الإعلام
The most powerful farewell was from Mark Montgomery, host of The Link. We'll have the full farewell of that coming up on today's program. Time Warner Cable has added the Filipino on-demand service to systems in Hawaii, San Antonio, Texas, the Carolinas, New Jersey, and New York, where it will be available for free to digital customers who have a subscription to the Filipino channel. The news was announced by ABS-CBN International and International Media Distribution, a major distributor of ethnic content into the U.S. With updated content each week, our customers can connect back home in the Philippines by catching their favorite stars and shows with the convenience of an on-demand service. Filipino on-demand service includes 100 hours of Filipino entertainment, including movies, miniseries, live concerts, and other content from ABS-CBN, which is the largest entertainment and broadcasting company in the Philippines. Iraqi authorities have suspended plans to close 44 media operations in the country, including the BBC and Voice of America. The reversal comes after an outcry by press freedom advocates. Ali Nasir, the deputy director of the Communications and Media Commission that regulates the news media, says the agency will give the news organizations an unspecified amount of time to obtain licenses and pay outstanding fees. If you want more on these and other stories, visit the Kim Andrew Elliott blog. Just go to www.kimandrewelliott.com or to www.pcjmedia.com and you'll find a link at the bottom of our homepage. That's the news for this week. I'm Paulette Macquarie.
This is Canada Calling. Ladies and gentlemen, the Prime Minister of Canada.
This evening marks the formal opening of Canada's International Broadcasting Service. The program is wholly Canadian in its creation and spirit. Most appropriately, it has been prepared for the entertainment of Canadians on active service abroad. I should like the first words spoken officially over the international service of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation to be words of greeting to Canada's armed forces serving on and beyond the seas. I should like them to be words of unbounded admiration and gratitude on behalf of all the people of Canada.
Canadian Prime Minister Mackenzie King inaugurating the CBC International Service that was later to become Radio Canada International. Last Sunday, Radio Canada International turned off its Sackville transmitters for the last time, after nearly 67 years. Their budget was slashed a few months ago. It was a mere $12.3 million and went down to $2.3 million. They're now only an online service. Effectively, Radio Canada International ceased to be a radio station. The various language sections at RCI did farewell programs. The farewell program that generated the most amount of online reaction was from the final edition of The Link, the weekly Monday to Friday news magazine, produced and presented by Mark Montgomery. This is how he signed off.
Well, now we have come to a point in the show. We only have a few minutes left in this final program, and I kind of find myself in the incredible position of being one of the last voices to be broadcast on Canada's international radio. And over these past few years, it has been my extreme privilege to be able to work alongside some of the most dedicated and talented people I've ever known. But we're saying goodbye to teammates and colleagues, most of whom are reluctantly retiring or leaving the job they love to seek other employment, but every one of them with a strong sense of pride for a job extremely well done. I'm finding this very hard. For 67 years, RCI has been the country's voice to the world, broadcasting Canada's viewpoints and culture in several languages. Not without some rocky financial times, though. Over a decade ago, when our budget was about double what it is now, the accounting firm KPMG was hired to examine RCI, and they discovered to their surprise that in comparison it was probably the most efficient of international broadcasters. It currently costs Canadians about 34 cents a year for this international service, and I don't know about you, but personally I have more loose change than that rattling around in the ashtray of my car. But the RCI budget has now been cut by about 80%, with similar reduction on staff, equipment, and operations. And, you know, I've always felt that RCI shows would be of interest to Canadians, and when the CBC did finally carry the link, your reaction was almost universally positive. It's being said the CBC is shuttering operations that do not reflect its core mandate, such as broadcasting to an international audience, which may have some truth to it. But it seems that with so much fascination to tell Canadians about American stars and stories, that Canadians were actually quite hungry for a show like The Link and its Canadian focus. I wonder if, in fact, The Link and RCI, with this focus, was moving closer to the CBC mandate while the CBC was moving away. That's the message that you've been telling us very clearly in your letters and emails. It's also being said that shortwave is a technology at the end of its life cycle, or quite simply obsolete. It's true that some countries have ceased shortwave and moved to the net, but countries like Germany, France, the United Kingdom, Australia, for example, have no intention of ending their international service. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty are going strong. The Voice of America is even going to open a new bureau in Burma. Indeed, the board overseeing those services said in its 2013 budget submission to the U.S. government that international broadcasting is among the most cost-effective initiatives within public diplomacy. Meanwhile, the Voice of Russia, with its 38 broadcast languages, has just this month opened a new office in London, saying it's a new opportunity to tell listeners about life in Russia and give Russian opinion on world matters. Other countries like China, North Korea, Cuba, amongst others, remain convinced of the strategic value of shortwave in spreading their message. In fact, this is an area where the Voice of Canada enjoyed great international respect and was relied upon by listeners worldwide. For the fact our objectives in broadcasts and news services were to always be as balanced and unbiased as possible. And while there's no denying the importance of the Internet, there's also no denying that it can be and is regularly blocked by authoritarian regimes. Shortwave broadcasts, on the other hand, almost always get through to people hungry for information. Radio has also always been an extremely inexpensive and highly portable, easily accessible to everyone around the world, no matter what their financial situation. But now I find myself, on behalf of all of us, saying goodbye to 67 years of radio, broadcasting stories of Canadian expertise and discoveries in medical fields and science, of technological innovation, business opportunities and practices, both good and bad, Canadian politics and policies, Canadian expert opinion and analysis of domestic and world affairs, and of course, wonderful Canadian artists and culture. And most sadly, goodbye also to you, my radio friends, with whom we have shared so many stories. I have absolutely loved being your host, welcoming you to The Link every day for these past many years. It's a privilege I have been thankful for every single day. Your many letters expressing your thanks for bringing you Canadian stories and artists you have not heard about elsewhere, and also expressing shock and dismay at the ending of the show, have truly warmed all our hearts. And thanks to all of you who have also written to the CBC to tell them how much you appreciate the show and the kinds of Canadian stories we cover. We do remain hopeful that a mere $10 million may quickly be found to save RCI, but now, on behalf of all of us, let me express to you a most sincere thank you for our small but highly dedicated team, Lynn Desjardins, Terry Haig, Carmel Kilkenny, Rashi Kilnani, and Ian Jones, who is not with us right now, Lauren Curry in Vancouver, Frank Racco in Calgary, Lynn Francoise Peltier from Toronto, Robert Jarreau from Halifax, Amanda Pfeffer in Ottawa, and Valerie Morin before that, Kathy Coulombe, and our wonderful technician Chantal Saint-Sauveur, and of course Tanya Gancheva, who is not with us today, who has done so much for the show, our assistant Roman Pitt, our producers Suzanne Sugar and Levon Savunce. And so, for all of us, thank you so much, and goodbye.
She went down last October in a pouring, driving rain. The skipper, he'd been drinking, and the mate, he felt no pain. Too close to Three Mile Rock, and she was...
That was the last few minutes of The Link, the very last edition of The Link with Mark Montgomery. Over the last few months, a few people have criticized me for my view on Radio Canada International. Now, I never at any point said that I was against RCI. In fact, I always felt, and still do feel, that it is vital for Canada to maintain an international shortwave service. And I stress again, vitally important. One thing that I have been preaching for over the past 10 years is that if international broadcasters like RCI are to survive, radical, bold, and groundbreaking changes need to take place. There was a time in international broadcasting stations like RCI and Radio Netherlands. They had programming and on-air personalities that stood out. In the 1990s, we saw this change, and they got away from that, and they sounded just like presenters on every other radio station. Or, as I like to say, the McDonald's syndrome, where every hamburger look and taste the same. It made most radio sound like assembly line programming. Sure, there was an element of kitsch to have Radio Netherlands talk about barrel organs, windmills, dikes, or Radio Canada International talk about things that were stereotypically Canadian. But is it not this that would make you stand out from the rest? Something that I have learned with starting up PCJ in 2009 is you need to be different, unique, and maybe a little bit offbeat. If you offer programming that is different and fun to listen to, the audience will come back. Back in 2009, many people thought the idea of bringing back the Happy Station Show as an independent production was crazy, stupid, dumb, and mad. And I knew for a long time and had a gut feeling that the show would be a success. Mind you, if the show had not been a success, I would have stopped doing it in the first 6 months. But what happened? The show went from once every 2 weeks, to weekly, to three different versions a week, including specials like the one we did on June 29th. The same goes for this program, which originally started off as a monthly 55-minute edition. Then we added a weekly 30-minute edition. Jazz for the Asking, Nash Holos, Focus Asia Pacific, Switzerland in Sound, Classic Media Network, The Stuff File Program, The Kelly Alexander Show, and the specials that we do. Changes that took place in international broadcasting in the 1990s have had nothing but a negative impact. Recently, the Burmese Democratic leader Aung San Suu Kyi was asked about what she thought of the BBC World Service. She said she was a strong supporter of the BBC, but felt the changes left the station with less variety in music programs, and said that when she tunes in nowadays, the only thing that she can hear is news and commentaries. To conclude, yes, I say it again, Canada needs an international broadcasting service, and I would do anything to support RCI being restored. At the same time, we do live in a democracy, and I have the right to speak my mind and give my own personal view. This is not RCI bashing. This is just having an open debate on the situation.
This is PCJ Radio on 88.2 FM. This is PCJ Radio on 107.5 FM in Nairobi, Kenya. And nationwide on 580. This is PCJ Radio on KBCT in Waco, Texas. This is PCJ Radio on 9955 kilohertz to Latin America. This is PCJ Radio on 7590 kilohertz DRM. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.
Another station that left the airwaves this week was Radio Netherlands Worldwide. After the station was founded in 1947, the station was probably, if not one of the most popular, international broadcasters in the world. A lot of it had to do with its programming, very light, also they would cover very topical issues, and presented the Netherlands to the world. But in the 1990s, things changed, and they sort of went downhill. Thursday evening, Eastern Standard Time in the United States, Radio Netherlands presented its final English language broadcast. Many of the reviews that I have been reading about it seem to be quite negative. They seem to mainly focus on the period of the 1990s and right up to today. Very little from the late 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. So, what does Radio Netherlands mean to me personally? Rob Green, Neville Gray, Dodie and Jerry Cowan, Dick Speakman, Harry Van Gelder, Ginger De Silva, Eric Boshima, David Swatling, Jonathan Marks, Theo Thomas, Marega Vandermeer, Pete Myers, and Tom Meyer are just some of the presenters I started listening to many years ago on Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service. When I think back to when I started listening, I never would have thought I would have chosen radio as a career path. Back in the 1980s, I didn't just merely listen to programs. I also listened from a technical standpoint on how they were edited, mixed, and presented. It was like taking a radio course on how to produce programming. From programs like Newsline, Media Network, and the documentaries, I learned how to make programs that would have an impact. And with programs like His and Hers and Happy Station, I learned the art of ad-libbing. Happy Station was the first show that I ever heard. I never thought that more than 30 years later, I would be presenting an independently produced version. I've also been blessed that over the years, I've gotten to know some of the people who made Radio Netherlands one of the most popular international broadcasters in the world. In the early 1990s, while I was in Hilversum, I spent an afternoon in the studio with Pete Myers, recording a series of scripts for a local station in Canada where I was working at the time. It was an experience I will never forget. Pete and I only needed to record 3 30-second promos. This took over an hour and used up 90 minutes of tape. But of all the people at Radio Netherlands I got to know, there is one that stands out. Tom Meyer. In 1990, I interviewed Tom for a program I was doing at Radio Canada International. I don't know if it was faith or someone at a higher power, but we have remained good friends for over 20 years now. In fact, it was a conversation that we had over a morning coffee in 1992 that created the idea in my head to start PCJ Radio and bring back Happy Station. As I read this, I feel as if I'm losing a teacher. You may not know this, but Radio Netherlands, I am forever grateful for everything you have given me. Anyway, now time to move on to propagation. What can we expect over the next 7 days? Here's our propagation editor, Dan Hensley.
On June 30th and July 1st, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 90. On July 2nd, the 10.7 centimeter flux starts to rise every day by 10 points, except for July 6th. On July 2nd, it becomes 100. On July 3rd, a 10.7 centimeter flux of 110. July 4th, 120. July 5th, 130. And July 6th, 135. The A index will be 18 on June 30th, and then from July 1st to July 3rd, we see an A index of 15. On July 4th and 5th, an A index of 8. On July 6th, an A index of 5. The KP index will be 5 on June 30th, and then for the next 3 days, that's July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, we'll see a KP index of 4. On July 4th and 5th, we'll see a KP index of 3. On July 6th, a KP index of 2. Sunspots 1512 and 1513 are in view this week, as sunspot 1512 poses a growing threat for M-class solar flares. With the high A index most of this week, coupled with solar wind from a coronal hole on the Earth-facing side of the Sun, we get unpredictable propagation. The wind from this coronal hole should reach us here on Earth from July 1st to July 2nd, 2012. Back to you, Keith.
All right, thank you very much, Dan, for this week's propagation report. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Media Network Plus. If you wish to contact us, our email address is very simple, mnp@pcjmedia.com. Once again, mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also listen to this program again, as well as all past editions, including the 55 monthly edition that we do. This month it's hosted by Paulette. Just go to www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. Once again, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. We're going to leave you this week with Tom Mayer singing I'll Be Seeing You. So on behalf of Dan Hensley and Paulette McQuarrie, this is Keith Pellon wishing you well, hoping we'll see you again in 7 days' time. 73s to you all, and 88 to the ladies.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll see you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. This heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, chestnut tree, wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, everything that